Welcome, everyone, to S&C's podcast series, S&C Critical Insights. My name is Werner Ahlers, and I am a partner in S&C's M&A and Latin American practices. With me today is Sergio Galvis, the head of S&C's Latin America practice and a member of its management committee. As some of our listeners may know, we recently co-edited, together with our partner Bob Jeffra, a guide to corporate crisis management for companies operating in Latin America, which was published by Latin Lawyer. Sergio and I also contributed a chapter focused on shareholder activism, and we're going to speak about some of those themes today.
That's right, Werner. We chose to write a chapter on shareholder activism because of its increasing relevance to corporates and investors in Latin America. The most sophisticated management teams and boards in the region no longer see this as a distant threat. In countries throughout the region, more and more, it is becoming imperative for boards to develop plans to be better prepared for it when they have to confront it.
In this podcast, we will explore some of these themes further to help corporate decision makers in Latin America understand better how activism is likely to continue becoming increasingly relevant in the region and how boards who are looking to prepare for potential campaigns can apply lessons learned from the U.S. and other jurisdictions. Sergio, what would you say are some of the key elements of activism in the U.S. and elsewhere that boards in Latin America have to be aware of today?
First, shareholder activism has become a day-to-day topic that companies worldwide are facing more and more frequently. Second, in the U.S. in particular, there has been a fundamental shift in shareholder sentiment towards activists who are no longer viewed solely as corporate raiders or short-term traders, but broadly as legitimate investors who can bring about positive change for shareholders generally. A third point to note is that while activism has become a constant in the U.S. and the number of campaigns has more or less stabilized in the last 3 years, it is still something that we see growing internationally. In 2019, approximately 40% of the campaigns involved companies outside of the United States, and the number of activist campaigns in Europe alone almost doubled in the 5 years leading up to 2019. The number of companies that grappled with activist investors reached record highs in Australia, Canada, Japan, the United Kingdom, just to name a few countries.
That definitely highlights how activism is expanding internationally. Another point I think that's important for boards in Latin America to keep in mind is that while some campaigns focus on challenging corporate governance practices or corporate social responsibility policies, others seek to reform companies' balance sheets or implement operational improvements. Complementing these more long-term objectives are also campaigns that focus on M&A opportunities, either trying to act as a catalyst for deals, typically mergers or divestitures, or posing opposition to deals or pushing to improve for better terms. Boards need to understand and be on the lookout for activist threats focusing on all these objectives.
That's right. And I would note that campaigns focused on M&A transactions have been particularly prominent lately and could provide a view into what's to come in Latin America. In the first half of last year, for example, almost half of all the activist campaigns were M&A related, with those campaigns evenly split in number among those seeking to spur consolidation, force divestitures, or interfere, stop, and announce deal. Campaigns focused on corporate governance objectives have also been influential in changing the landscape in the United States. These campaigns can focus on a number of issues, including director independence, the separation of the CEO and the chairman, smaller boards, more frequent board meetings, achieving higher qualifications or diversity among directors. And because these issues are typically reflective of concerns of institutional investors with significant stakes in the targets, they are often successful in affecting some sort of change.
Activism has so far been somewhat slow to take off in the region. What are the characteristics that you think may make the region less attractive or fruitful for activists?
It has been slow. There are a variety of factors that explain that. One key difference in Latin America is that many companies are controlled by shareholder blocs centered around families or industrial groups of closely allied investors. The shareholders of Latin American companies generally tend to exercise more direct control over board decisions. A second key difference, which is really a development in Latin America in the last 20 years, is the overweighing of the participation in the market by the domestic pension funds. And we'll get into this topic a little bit more later.
Right. And another difference is that Latin American securities markets tend to operate with less liquidity.
Yeah, and as a consequence, the risk for an activist to have a campaign that goes nowhere is greater to the extent that the exit strategies are more limited.
That's right. I think the overarching point here is that Latin America is really, everyone recognizes, a complex patchwork of markets of different sizes and laws that require the potential activists to develop specific knowledge and strategies that are appropriate to the particular market. Mexico is very different from Colombia, which is different from Argentina, and so on. And while these differences may have reduced the appetite that activists have for Latin America to a certain extent, companies and directors operating in markets throughout Latin America shouldn't underestimate the impact that activist investors may have over the long term. Activist investors know what they're doing, and their focus on the region is increasing.
In recent years, we definitely have seen varied types of activists paying increased attention to the region. In 2018, for example, seven Brazilian companies and one Mexican company reported experience of activist campaigns. And in 2019, at least two of those campaigns were played out in public. While these numbers may seem relatively low in comparison to the United States, directors of Latin American companies should not feel insulated or protected. One of the earliest examples of activists targeting a Latin American company is Cartica Capital's attempt to thwart Chile's Corbanca's $3.7 billion merger with Brazil's Itaú Unibanco holding in 2014. Cartica, a U.S. fund, took the aggressive and ultimately unsuccessful step of filing litigation in the United States to stop the merger.
Other examples have focused on governance practices common in Latin America. While the activists in these campaigns were not able to entirely achieve their goals, at least one more recent activist campaign in Latin America has had more success by taking direct aim at management.
Yeah, in 2019, the CEO of Brazilian healthcare management company, Qualicorp, you'll remember, Werner, stepped down under pressure from Brazil's XP long-biased fund. And similarly, Brazilian telecom carrier Oi has battled with its largest shareholder, Golden Tree Asset Management, over the fate of its CEO. So there's definitely the kind of targeting of individuals in leadership positions at companies in the region, the way we have previously seen in the U.S. and Europe.
Well, it does seem like there definitely has been a marked uptick in shareholder activism in Latin America over the course of the last 2 years. And if this follows the trend lines we have seen in other regions, I think it's safe to say that we will continue to see activist campaigns increasing in the coming years. Nonetheless, the development of activism in Latin American jurisdictions will undoubtedly have its own characteristics based on local regulations and the shareholder makeup of public companies. For example, we have seen that in the U.S., institutional investors have been key as a sort of accelerant in the development of the phenomenon. Whereas in Latin America, many countries have a pension system comprised of privately managed pension funds that play a critical role in the shareholdings of public markets. Sergio, do you think that these pension funds have the potential to play a role similar to that of the BlackRocks and Vanguards of the world do in the U.S. and Europe?
I really do, Werner. And in fact, to some extent, even more so in the kind of microcosm of Latin America. Generally, activists in the United States and Europe, given the size of the market cap of many of the companies in which they're seeking change, take a small stake and then kind of lean on or rely on the support of large institutional investors to gain traction in their campaigns. In 2018, for example, the median percentage ownership of the activist investor was approximately 7%. The privately managed pension funds actually have an even greater concentration of shareholdings in public companies, and that gives them a tremendous amount of leverage. So it could be that the activists are others who seek to leverage off the pension funds, or it may very well be, in very particular cases, that it's those pension funds themselves who may not necessarily act in as passive a role as, let's say, a BlackRock or Vanguard normally would be thought of as acting, will themselves, that is, the domestic pension funds, become the activist?
Are we expecting that the same activists that have played a leading role in the U.S. and Europe will also be the main ones in Latin America?
You know, it's hard to know. It very well may be a mix of international, regional, and local players pursuing different strategies, some of them borrowed from North America, others unique to the region. I think what's important to keep in mind is that, as in the U.S., each activist investor is likely to be meaningfully different in its objectives and tactics and have a different typical playbook. When a company is targeted by an activist, one of the first things that we work to do with boards and the other advisors to the company is to carefully consider the identity and the track record of that activist.
Being well prepared for successfully responding to an activist campaign often turns on understanding what to expect from the applicable activist.
Yeah, each playbook is influenced by multiple factors, such as the activist's brand, the size of their fund, the fund's historical performance or even recent performance, and the activist's level of expertise in successfully implementing its tactics. It's hard for a single board to have all of that information, and that's where obviously the critical role of both financial and legal advisors comes in. No two activists are the same, and companies therefore must analyze, with the support of their advisors, the performance tactics of the activists, the particular situation of that company and how those tactics marry up to that situation of the company, and make a realistic assessment of both the likelihood of success by the activist and the optimal successful response to the campaign by the company and its board.
Sergio, in addition to getting to know an activist track record once a campaign's actually begun, when you're speaking with Latin American companies, what are the top three or four things you recommend they do in order to be prepared in advance for a potential activist campaign?
Before going into the details of the specific recommendations, I'd like to highlight that companies in the region and their boards of directors should reevaluate a phenomena that is developing side by side with the activist phenomena, and that is that more and more boards of directors, controlling shareholder groups, are reevaluating their historic shareholder relations models, as well as traditional approaches to responding to shareholder initiatives. What I mean by this is that many companies in the region have implemented very constructive, productive, proactive strategies for the board, for the controlling shareholders, to engage more broadly with shareholders, especially institutional shareholders, as well as to communicate more transparently and fully in both their regulatory filings and just generally in communications with shareholders, setting a stage for more effective communication, for better give and take among the controlling group or the board and its shareholder base. This creates the foundation on which a company in a particular activist campaign can build an effective response. Now, as to specific actions to be prepared for an activist attack, here are some of the things that we talk to our clients about. First, to assemble an educated team. A well-prepared company will assemble a core response team, including internal personnel, external advisors who can address legal, financial, and public relations issues. It's also essential to prepare the board by having management and advisors regularly update directors on possible activist lines of attacks and the company's anticipated responses. By possible activist lines of attack, I mean things that are specific to the business. If there are business judgments that are being made, the board, senior management should consider how an activist might seek to attack them. In other words, think like an activist investor as you develop your own corporate strategy. As an initial step, a company needs to identify areas where it may be vulnerable. Does its balance sheet present weaknesses, such as a shortage of cash? The best prepared companies formulate a response protocol and a communications response plan that is tailored to address the varying concerns of shareholders, employees, and key third parties.
Those are all really critical elements to any preparedness response plan that a company can implement. And one point I think it's helpful to come back to, you alluded to it at the beginning regarding public relations advisors, is how the importance of effective communication really can't be overstated. Our litigation partner and co-editor of the Crisis Management Guide, Bob Jiffra, together with Paul Holmes of global communications firm Finsbury, have a podcast on S&C Critical Insights as well, focusing on how close collaboration between legal and communications advisors can help management and boards effectively navigate and mitigate the effects of various corporate crises, including those that may be brought on by activist campaigns.
In terms of other resources, one that we referred to earlier is our chapter, Crisis Management as a Tool for Approaching Shareholder Activism. That's available on our website at sulcrum.com and on Latin Lawyer's website.
Thank you, Sergio. And thank you to our listeners for joining us on S&C Critical Insights. For more information about our practice, please visit us on the web at www.sulcrum.com.